50% cock free. Uh-huh. I'm Sean, your host across the way. Danny, how are you?
I'm pretty good. When did you get castrated there, Sean?
I was just saying, last week there was four guys on the show, and now we're back to two.
Oh, yeah, that does make more mathematical sense. I just thought you went through that surgery that you had been talking about for a while, and now you are currently post-op as opposed to pre-op.
You know, maybe. It'll be a surprise. I guess it won't be a surprise with the beard. Like, I guess some girls would be. They'll be like, oh, beard up top. They'll be a little shocked that there's nothing below. Versus, like, the old tradition Asian style where it's lovely lady up top and a hidden package below.
Right. You'll have a man beard on top and lady beard on the bottom. Not to be confused with the Australian wrestler turned J-pop singer.
Exactly. Hidden surprises for everybody.
Yay, you lose. I win. Go team.
Woo! Party time. So over this past weekend, there was quite a bit of commotion. Everybody's celebrating Memorial Day, but it actually got a little bit crazy down in Phoenix.
Yeah, this weekend at Phoenix Comic Con, apparently a man was arrested because he brought actual guns into the convention, which, you know, if anybody's been to a con, they know, like, they have people practically tackling you as you walk in the door, whether or not you're in cosplay or not, telling you where you can check your fake weapons to make sure that they, in fact, are fake. But apparently he was able to sidestep that process, and I guess somebody reported him because he was taking pictures of police officers from, like, weird angles and stuff, and so they went up and approached a different police officer and said, check him out, and sure enough, he had three pistols and a shotgun on him.
Jesus.
And originally, the reports were that he was there to kill the police officers, but then come to find out later on, after interrogating him and doing some more questions, he said that he considered himself to be the real-life version of Marvel's Punisher, and he was there to kill Jason David Frank, also known as the Green Ranger from the Power Rangers, and he was there, and he was going to kill any, as he called them, Aphrodite officers, quote-unquote, that got in his way, and apparently that's what he called bad officers, or just the police officers that tried to hurt or stop him from carrying out his Marvel Punisher mission of killing the Green Ranger.
Was there any reason? Is it because, like, the Green Ranger is a bad guy now?
As you know, well, I don't, I mean, I thought he was one of the ones that wasn't bad, like the guy that is in prison right now for stabbing his roommate was the only one that I thought was, like, bad, but...
Wasn't that the Red Ranger?
Yes, it was. And so, I guess he was on Facebook Live, and the guy that snuck into the con went on Facebook Live before and said, you will start hearing stuff on social media, I'm fine, I'm okay, love you all. Even though it looks like things don't faze me, I have to refuse to have a situation tear me apart mentally. You gotta remember, things could always be worse. Things could have been worse, but it wasn't, you know. Everyone is safe, things are okay. Oh no, this was the Green Power Ranger, and it's a great thing. So that was his comment.
That was a weird comment by somebody.
I apologize.
About the shoot up the place. Don't worry.
The article was written poorly, and my poor reading comprehension skills added to that.
You're just not awake. Hence you
I am awake.
Your math is bad. Your reading is bad. I mean,
yes.
Just give up.
It's the public schools. It's all their fault. From the California public schools. But yeah, so that was... The Green Ranger dude said that, and I don't know, like, I guess he never even really got close to him, but the guy never necessarily said, in the article at least that I'm reading, and a few other things that I've read, he never necessarily said why he was going after the Green Ranger, but, you know, in response to this guy walking around the con with real guns that weren't checked, Phoenix decided to take the, you know, calm and rational approach and ban all weapons, no matter how fake they looked, from being carried into the convention. They did allow the vendors inside to sell fake weapons, but if you bought one from there, they had to stay inside a sealed bag, or at least inside the bag that they were provided by the vendor at all times.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy to think that somebody just literally went in there and thought and went to try to go kill the Green Ranger. Like, I mean, It's just so ridiculous to think.
Right. I mean, it's almost like somebody wrote a comic book about it.
It's just, man. I mean, and the funny thing was, is when all this was going down on Saturday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, or was it Friday?
It was Friday. I believe it was Friday. It was like early in the con.
Yeah. So basically, like, I saw a bunch of comic book artists really talking about it and saying, like, the fanboys need to get over it. And I agree, man. Like, come, like, what do you really expect the con to do when somebody just literally walked in with a gun? Like, I don't blame the con that you can't bring your props in. Like, blame the jackass that was going to murder somebody.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, in addition to, you know, Phoenix not letting anybody bring in their giant foam guns, the Alamo City Con in Texas also put out a message the same day. And this is what happened on May 25th, actually, was the date that this occurred, that they were going to ban pretty much most bags from being carried in. Like, you couldn't bring backpacks or duffel bags or the oversized, goofy T-shirt company.
We Are Fine.
We Are Fine bags, you know, that people, you know, bring to the same con for 5 years because that 1 year that they bought a shirt from them and just want a dick swing because they're limited edition bags for each con.
Danny, when you say that, we know it's you. Just, you don't have to try to make it like it's anybody else. So if you haven't seen these bags, like, so We Are Fine, they sell stuff at cons and they literally give you a 4-foot by 3-foot bag, basically, and it's ginormic. I mean, it's not top quality, but it definitely works. But it's such a, it's a pretty funny bag to be carrying around, and they always come up with new ones every year.
Yeah, like whatever, either like TV show or video game or anime or whatever's hot at the time will be like, usually they have it two-sided. Like 1 year it was like Overwatch on one side and like Barbie on the other or something. It's just, but yeah, I'm not the one that actually owned one. You know, when you went to Emerald City, pretty sure you bought that Deadpool shirt.
I don't even remember which Deadpool shirt it was. I only have one Deadpool shirt. Did I buy it there? I feel like you didn't buy
it there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did. But anyways, the point being,
no, that, you know, false. You can bring. It was Doctor Doom riding a unicorn shirt.
That is correct. Doctor Doom on the unicorn.
Yeah. Boom. Lawyered.
But still, it was still purchased from We Love Fun.
True.
To get that awesome bag that you always wanted.
That is true. At one point.
And so, but you're, you know, it just, there was four major cons this last weekend, you know, the Alamo City, Phoenix, MegaCon in Florida, and Fanime in San Jose, you know, and I'm sure there was quite a few more in smaller cities, and there's, you know, any given weekend, there's, you know, probably half a dozen cons, you know, hundreds of them a year, basically from, you know, spring through, you know, fall, and one thing happens. I mean, at some point, you know, going overboard is going to be ridiculous. I mean, are they going to start banning people from cosplaying? So that they can see what everybody looks like?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't think they'll go that far. And I think it's just probably people got scared. Or maybe they... Did the Texas con say that they were removing the bags because of that incident?
The announcement was made this same day shortly after. So I don't know if they necessarily said it, but the timing of it...
Maybe they just didn't want people carrying bags and they wanted people to buy stuff and just using it for a shitty reason.
Exactly. Maybe they wanted all their vendors to lose money so that nobody would buy anything to put it in the oversized bags that they brought in to carry the stuff that they purchased in around the con.
No, they're supposed to buy a bag on top of all that stuff. Come on, Danny. This is business thinking.
You're right. I'm sorry. I mean, if it was a California convention, I would totally expect it. It's like, hey, you bought groceries. Do you want to buy a bag to put your groceries in?
So basically, I think that's what, I don't know, that's kind of weird that they wouldn't say anything like about it being for your safety. It feels, it's hard to say, but again, like, I think it was a one-off event. Like, why would we overreact to all this? I mean, it wasn't like it was like a terrorist attack over the weekend. It was just some guy that for some reason had a hard-on to kill the Green Ranger. For, I guess, like, which you would go down in history as the guy that killed the Green Ranger and would be known forever. But anyways, but I just feel like they shouldn't have gone so crazy. I get why Phoenix probably did it, because they probably didn't know if it was just him or if there was anybody else to it, and they were probably still investigating it.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. But at the same time, like, you know, like, if you've been to a convention, you see the prop weapons, like, it's 99% of them, it is very, very hard to discern them from being, it is very easy to discern them from being real. I mean, if you mistake them, you know, giant foam guns that are, you know, brightly painted colors, you know, and most of the part is usually swords or lightsabers.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it was probably a little overboard, and I think it was just the easiest thing. And you have to think about it. I don't know. Did the con really have a choice of what it was going to ban, or was it influenced from the police department?
True, and I mean, you know, the a lot of the other stuff coming out from the convention was talking about how, you know, even though they have security and they have police there, some of the, you know, they also rely on, you know, the people attending the con to, you know, help out as well. And somebody, sure enough, was alert, noticed this guy acting suspicious, reported him, and, you know, he was caught before he had a chance to do anything. So, you know, the security plans in place seem to work, so I don't know why they needed to change, you know, necessarily react and change anything that they have going, because it obviously worked. He didn't fall through the umbrella. He got caught before anything happened. The con went on without a hitch other than that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was a little bit too harsh. I think the people with the foam swords are not going to do anything, but again, I think it was just, they didn't have all the information, they didn't have this guy interrogated yet, and it was probably just easier just to get all the weapons out for the safety of the building. And I'm sure next year at Phoenix Con, like, they're going to allow people to come back in with their weapons. So, I mean, it sucks, but, I mean, at the end of the day, nobody got hurt, and that's what counts.
Right, and I'm sure, you know, we'll have to see how this affects other cons. So far, you know, there's like a Mighty Con coming up this weekend in Pennsylvania, and there's a few other conventions. So, it doesn't look like they have any particular bans announced, at least on any of their social media, as far as weapons or bags or anything. So it might have just been, like you said, a reaction that, you know, A, somebody walked into a major convention with a gun, and B, it was a holiday weekend, so that might have been a statement weekend because of the holiday.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a valid reason. Everybody more relaxed, more people going out of town and doing stuff. I mean, it was a good opportunity. So also last week was finally the release of the Twitch play of Destiny 2. Now, Danny, did you get a chance to look at it yet?
I looked at it a little bit, and not too much, just because, as I've been saying this whole time, and nobody believes me, that I'm pretty sure I'm not buying Destiny 2.
You're a bastard. Don't you leave me with these clowns. I forgive you, though. Just so you know.
It's okay, because I think you played Destiny on my account far longer than I played Destiny on my account.
Well, at least you got a shirt out of it.
Yes, you won me a shirt, and that's, like I said, you know, I was on vacation in a different state while you were playing my Destiny account so that I could get a shirt that said I played Destiny to earn the shirt.
I get all my bitches Destiny shirts. Even ask Mike.
He takes care of his, the senpai takes care of us all.
Exactly. Except Gecko. Gecko's a terrible senpai.
I know, that's why I just umbrellaed you as everyone's senpai. You're the de facto senpai for the group.
Exactly. So, I was watching the Twitch, and I didn't get to watch it live. I watched the recording probably an hour later. And I think it seems interesting, and I already have seen a little bit of backlash on some people complaining that shotguns and snipers have got recalibrated into, like, the heavy arms slot. I think we have grenade launchers, and we have a better heavy machine gun, which was really, that looked really cool. I guess the piece for me that I'm interested in is seeing what other powers they are. So obviously they had to spoil, like, they're redoing the abilities. So we have all three classes, and it looks like in the beta we're going to be able to play all three subclasses, and we're probably going to only get class, and then we'll only get probably the one subclass. So hopefully we don't get spoiled too much on the beta, and hopefully we can see some of the other cool subclasses that they redesigned.
Right, I mean, you know, the betas, you know, would be cool to see, like, some stuff, but, like, you know, at some point, you know, if you overplay the beta and put too much into it, everyone's just going to be like, oh, I already pretty much already played the game. I don't need to buy it.
Yeah, but they're not going to let you go through the level. They're not. I bet the beta is going to be very similar to what everybody's playing right now, and it's literally, like, the intro level and then one strike and then the, what's it called? The one PvP map. I think that's all we're getting for the beta.
And that would make sense if that's what they're releasing, I guess, publicly for people to see. Like, mm-hmm. That might be the alpha that some people are getting to play, and so then they'll just fix whatever they can from that, and then more widely release that to the public and let them have a run at it to see if they can find any bugs and fix anything that needs to be done from there.
Yeah, and I mean, I know Gecko is complaining about the strike, but think about it. The strike means nothing to... This strike is going to mean nothing to us because we don't know what's going on in the story for D2. And so it's just kind of, like, thrown at us. And so obviously, like, there's an enemy. We don't know why we're going after him other than he's a bad guy. So I'm sure part of the story for that piece doesn't really make that much sense.
Right, and you never know. I mean, they could totally, like, have just made up a strike for the alpha and beta phases so that it doesn't spoil any story, and then you go to, you know, play the game and it's not in there, and watch people freak out for good or bad either way when they actually play the game.
Yeah. No, I mean, the game looks fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the game still looks fun to play. I'm still excited. I think they learned a lot of things in Destiny 1, so I think it's going to be a good time. I know right now you could pre-order it, and if you pre-order, you could pre-order the first two expansion packs. It's going to be interesting to see how they do the expansion packs going forward, because like for the last 2 years in D1, we only had two expansion packs, and it was always in the fall. We weren't getting like a fall and a winter and a spring one, so I'm hoping that they've kind of learned their lesson from that piece, and then we'll get a lot better content from the get go, and not maybe one yearly release.
Right, and you know, from the expansions that I played, it for having to pay that much money for an expansion, it didn't really seem like there was that much. Added to the game, you know, just it seemed like there was just a little bit of story and, you know, a couple strikes and maybe, you know, a raid, and that was about it. And that seems like, you know, the average Destiny fan can beat that in like within a week, and then they're done again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, what was it, raid 20, it was like $20 for one of the expansion packs, something like that.
So, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good chunk, but yeah, I think to your point, I think they add PvP, and then obviously the raids get done like every week by people that really love the game. So, I mean, I guess it depends on just how much you play it and grind it into the ground.
Right, and I guess, you know, if you have a group of people that consistently play Destiny, you know, you can go in and, you know, try the raids and the strikes and stuff with different conditions, or just as a group to have fun. But, you know, we no longer have that anymore, as that, you know, the group is splintering to different systems and working odd hours and just all around being antisocial with each other.
I blame Gecko. No, but I think you're right. I think it'll be interesting to see how our group goes about but obviously there's like millions of people, so it doesn't matter. I think there's plenty of people, and we'll continue to play. I think I've had a successful time in the last year playing Destiny because I'm okay with playing, doing the story missions and the strikes. r/fireteams has been really solid on Reddit as far as finding raid groups and stuff. Obviously, once you get your way in there a little bit, you know exactly who to look for and who to help and who you can help play, and it makes the game a lot easier. So I don't know if you necessarily need to have a 6-man consistent team, but I mean, it sure as hell helps.
Right, and I'm not talking about necessarily for ease of getting a group together, but it's the same as like, you know, playing Overwatch or anything like that. You know, if you're sitting in there playing in silence, it kind of gets boring quicker than if you're in a group and everyone's on the headset and chatting it up with each other, even if they're not necessarily, you know, talking about the game. If there's moments in the raid or the strike where you can have more casual talk, you know, just to lighten the mood and give you something to focus on, and as opposed to just like walking through and jumping around things.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
And you know, like for the weapon change, it almost made more sense instead of like just classifying them as like light weapon and heavy weapon. They probably should have just done the primary and secondary weapon, and then I guess that would have made more sense to put the shotguns and the sniper rifles in that category.
In the secondary?
Yes.
I think that's kind of how it is already, though.
Right, but instead of calling them heavy weapons?
Yeah. I think they're trying to get it to where a lot of people are sticking with the main set of weapons versus the specialty weapons.
Right, and I guess they would probably need to keep that classification, though, for their ammo, the way they have the ammo set up, you know, because you can find regular ammo and then you find heavy ammo, and that's special and different. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So you just have a bunch of people running around with hand cannons and that's it now?
Pew-pews! Pew-pews! Yeah, stupid hand cannons. They're the worst. I'm terrible with them.
So,
I hate
they're
it
not the worst.
I can't use it.
Exactly. So you just stick around with your shotguns and run around and shoot people in the face because you can't aim, right?
No, I'm not a very good aimer.
Or you do the spray and pray?
Always spray and pray. Only way to go. Or you just get the rocket launcher and you just blow everything up in one shot.
Yes, the everything within the perimeter, you just aim nearby somebody and hope that the blast hits them.
The fuck it all option.
Exactly. I definitely can't aim, but I don't have this isn't Modern Warfare, so I don't have a grenade launcher.
Exactly.
Did it look like they did anything to change as far as like finding a group, or are you still going to have to go on Reddit, Fireteam?
No, they actually add that. That's part of the part that seemed pretty cool is during the patrol missions and stuff, you could use the game to find other parties. And they're introducing clans, which is going to be very interesting as well to see how they go about that. But basically, you could set clans and then say, hey, we're going to be doing this event. You can have your clan join in. Or what you can do is if you have like 4 people in your clan signed up, you could try to get another clan to help you out during a raid, or you could grab 2 people that aren't part of a clan and such to kind of work through.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, because then you're going to have more competition, I guess, because with the clans, you can, you know, have people claim, you know, the first clan or the first whatever to beat the raids, and that'll definitely give insecure people something to swing their dicks about on Reddit.
Exactly. The other part is PvP is going to 4v4, so it seems like they're changing the PvP stuff quite a bit. I'm hoping that we still have we still get like the Lone Ranger stuff, but I think they're gonna try to reduce all the 6 game matches to 4 and kind of make it a lot more intimate.
Are they gonna play some 70s jazz as you're going around in your more intimate setting?
Maybe. I don't know if they'll do that, but I think it gives it a little bit of not giant map feels and stuff like that. and I think it'll make the game a little bit tighter. But I mean, who knows? I bet Trials will still make its way back. Maybe they won't redo Trials with all the saltiness going on in there.
Right. I mean, and you know, playing some of the PvP, you know, some of the maps, you know, even with the 6v6, some of the maps felt big sometimes because everyone just kind of congregated in one or two areas anyways. And so, you know, if you died and you spawned kind of in one area, you might have to go across the map for a while to find somebody because they were, like I said, congregated in a small kind of a circle. So they could have almost even just decreased the size of the maps and kept the 6v6 and made it a little more chaotic and more, I guess, frustrating and exciting at the same time.
That's not a bad option, to be honest. It's hard to say. I mean, I think it'll be when we get the beta, I think it'll change things and we'll have to see how everything came out.
Right. I mean, it seems like they're trying their hardest to make Destiny 2 stand alone from Destiny 1 as opposed to just being the same game with a higher number after the title. I mean, you know, you can't play your same character. That's not carrying over. You're, you know, getting new skills. You're getting... So it'll be kind of interesting to see. Like, I definitely, you know, if I could play at least play the beta to check it out, but I don't know. I have too many MMOs already to play, and...
Get over it. Play faster.
Yeah. That's like saying, you know what? I know you're a heroin addict. Just take a bigger dose.
At least you don't have to worry about dying in an MMO.
I don't know, man. I've seen some of those guys in like Korea that die at their system because they've sat there for, you know, 4 days straight and don't move, and then they die.
Yeah. I mean, at least they died happy doing what they love, right?
Exactly. Sitting behind a computer covered in feces and smelling like dirty, dirty onions.
Speaking of better things besides feces, I went to Ernest a few weeks ago, and they actually have a new beer, Danny. They have it's called JPA. It's a Japanese pale ale made with rice versus your traditional hops and grains. It was actually really fantastic.
I mean, that sounds interesting. It definitely sounds pretty good. So it kind of I'm sure it had a more smooth taste as opposed to a hoppier taste, like sake or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely my new go-to there. I really like Honey Buzz, but I always felt like I felt terrible after drinking like 2 pints of Honey Buzz. I don't know what it is about it, but the JPA is really good. I really like it, and it's been really nice to drink. I know they've already started messing with it for the Frickin', and they got some stuff coming out with the JPA later this month.
That's cool. I know a few years ago, Stone did an IPA, a Japanese green tea IPA. It was actually really good. The like whatever in the green tea kind of helped cut down on the hops a little bit, but I mean, you can still taste the hops, but the green tea definitely like either mellowed them out and just kind of made it a little more palatable. So that'd be kind of an interesting thing if they did something like that, just kind of added traditionally Japanese flavors to their Japanese beer to give it more of a Japanese taste.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it'll be interesting to see how some of these specialties come out. So I know one of them's a ginger beer, so I don't know how up to that one I'm going to be. But no, I was really I'm really excited to talk about that JPA because it's really nice to drink.
So are you going to break some federal laws and send me a growler?
Hey, we can't talk about that on the air, all right? You need to watch yourself. This guy, if anybody's listening, he's the bad guy. I'm the good one. Remember that.
We've already established that I'm a horrible person. So, but I'm not a bad guy. I'm just, you know, horrible. There's a huge difference.
That's fair, man. That's fair. Have you drinking anything new over the last couple of weeks?
I actually over the weekend decided, you know, since we're celebrating, you know, the American troops and all that they've done for our country, went over to a buddy's house, and he made burritos, and we did some homemade micheladas with a couple of breweries, Ska Brewery and Oscar Breweries. They're Mexican beers, which are actually pretty good. Not necessarily a huge fan of them, but I guess the craft brewery made them a little bit more tolerable. I guess either they're fresh or they're just better ingredients. And plus one of them tasted, the one that I liked better, I think tasted better because it had a punny name.
Of course.
It was, it's known as, it's called a burrito.
Oh, Jesus. Of course,
yes.
Of course you would be happy with that one.
So, but yeah, I mean, I did buy a couple new rums. I was able to buy, I found a Ballast Point spiced rum that I've been looking for a while. I had a bottle of that a few years ago, but it's now sold under the banner of Constellation Distillery as opposed to Bottle Logic, but it still has the same pirate skeleton behind the steering wheel of a boat.
Of course
so that's kind of made it hard to miss. And then I was at La Bodega, and I was kind of asking her about them carrying that, and she steered me towards a Puerto Rican rum that actually is pretty good. It tastes, it drinks like a whiskey, so you don't necessarily mix it. Mm-hmm. It's a Ron del Barrilito is the company that makes it, and they do their ranking, I guess, of the quality of their beer based on the number of stars. So, you know, if you get like the one star, I guess they say, yeah, go ahead and mix this. But if you get stars higher up, they just say, you know, drink it either just straight in a glass or with some ice and have a good time.
Hmm, not too shabby. That's it's nice to see when they could recommend things that are similar or better to the product you're looking for.
Right, and she's I wasn't going to buy it at first, but then I thought about it and I realized that pretty much with all of her her recommendations there, she hasn't steered me wrong once. So either I wanted to I'd find a good rum, or I'd prove her wrong and have one strike against her.
And unfortunately, you have no strikes against her yet.
Nope. Well, yeah, exactly. Either fortunately or unfortunately, depending on the case.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's funny.
You know, since we're talking about, you know, drinking beer and just different forms of alcohol, I heard you're making yourself some prison hooch.
No prison hooch for anybody that wants some, except Gecko. He's getting a special beer made in the toilet with a few floaters, but that's for another day. I decided to make the leap, and I bought a home brewing kit, a pretty fancy one. And it is it does make 5 gallons, so I started with a mandarine pale ale. So instead of just trying to make a pale ale out of the box like normal, I decided to be a smartass and add some mandarine to the second fermentation process. So we'll see how that goes. And then last week I started an IPA, and this week I'm trying to really – my friend Adrian is buying the beer, and I'm going to help him brew it, but it's not mine, so – I get to help with all the fun and learn about brewing a porter or a stout, and I don't have to keep it at my place and care about it and worry about all the extra beer I'm going to get.
Well, I mean, you're at least charging him like a 10% surcharge.
Something like, probably not. Something like that, but probably not.
Maybe not that much, but you're at least going to get some of it to try it to make sure, you know, works out.
Yeah, I'll definitely be trying it. At some point, what I will do is probably buy some 1-gallon fermenters, probably 5, so I can do a little bit more testing and more trials. So basically run 5 gallons through the main fermenter, the main fermenter, and when it goes into the second fermenting process, and get them in those 1 gallons, and then start doing different things like dry hopping, adding flavors, and really trying to push the boundaries. it seems pretty tough to try to do this at a 5-gallon level.
Right, and you know, if you come across a flavor necessarily, not necessarily that it went bad, but you don't necessarily care for it, you don't have the task of drinking all 5 gallons. You can just force yourself to chug down the 1 gallon and forget about it forever.
Exactly. No, and that's really the main point, is to get better at flavoring and building my own recipes for what I want. I think it'll always be kind of my brewing style. It already seems to be balls to the wall. What can we add to make this more fun? Constantly beer type. So I think we're going to have a lot of interesting things coming down the pipeline, down the road, once I feel comfortable. And I am going to make a hoppy red ale at some point. That seems to be the next thing, is to make my own red ale that I would like. Maybe I'll call it Red Beard or something.
The soulless ale?
Perfect. The soulless ale. Because you hear that it's a red ale, and you'll be like so happy you get a malty drink. And then, boom, hit with some hops more than you're ready for. And then you're just like, you soulless bastard.
Exactly. Perfect. And plus, it's red like a ginger, and gingers have no soul. It's a double meaning.
Exactly.
Fun for everyone.
It'll be fun for everybody. So that's what I got on my plate. It's been really fun. I think my favorite part is when I'm cooking the hops and my apartment smells like a brewery. It is the greatest smell there is.
So what you're saying is, like, you know, the incense and candle companies, instead of making, you know, things like, you know, cinnamon roll, they need to start making freshly cooked hops as a candle so that you can mess with people who are beer fans.
Exactly. Somebody needs to get on the hop scandal. Never mind. I'm going to erase this whole episode. Danny, boom, we got our next idea. Hop smelly candles. We're going to be rich.
Rich. And we're going to throw our mascot on there.
Exactly.
Sir Hoppyhead candles.
Exactly.
We'll be household names.
Yeah, we will. Everybody will love us.
Yes, it'll be like you know, when somebody who's trying to lose weight but wants cake, and they have to chew that shitty cake flavored gum as their only source of joy in life. we can start making beer scented candles. For alcoholics who can't, former alcoholics who want beer and the smell of beer, but they can't drink it, so they'll just light a candle and regret their life choices in the past.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I guess that's how it's gonna be.
that's gonna be our target audience: is former beer drinkers who want the smell of being, of owning, of having a beer in front of them without the temptation of actually drinking the beer.
Exactly. Yeah. Hoppyhead candles with Sir. With Sir Hoppyhead, candles for men.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now you're just being discriminatory.
My bad.
You're gonna upset like a third of our 12 listeners.
Probably. I refrain. It is the candle for everybody.
Yay!
Woo! I just can't. We gotta get a commercial where an adult puts the candle in the kid's room and starts and turns it on. Like, little Bobby, it smells in here. Lights up the beer hop candle.
That smells good. It's like that stuff you drink that you won't let me have any of. Now I'm gonna try to sneak some when you're not looking there, Daddy.
I think that's just part of growing up, is sneaking beer.
But you don't need the extra motivation and temptation of teasing them with a candle either, is my point.
You mean you shouldn't try to bait them into it?
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, every kid goes through the rite of passage of, you know, drinking either beer or some sort of alcohol when they're young and realizing it tastes like tastes like ass. And then as they get a little bit older, they find stuff that they like. And eventually they get Stockholm Syndrome into finding a delicious beer and trying to convince everyone else that the beer that they drink is delicious. Circle of life, man.
Yeah, except you fuckers that drink, like, really shitty beer. You guys need to stop it.
Yes, I mean, I know you like paying $5 for your PBRs at your hipster bars, but that doesn't make it any better than when it was $1 a few years ago.
I think I was at a party and somebody said, I'll trade you my Bud Light for a Blue Moon. And I was like, no. I don't want that.
That sounds like a bad trade all around. Like, but I guess if you're going to a place that just sells mainstream beers, Blue Moon isn't the worst option there. But yeah.
I think this was like 6-7 years ago, though. This was before Home Depot time, so this was a while ago.
Okay, before you became an adult and started drinking adult beers.
Something like that.
when it was just whatever you can get the homeless dude to buy you from the 7-Eleven?
When I got out of my diapers.
Yes, it's like, dude, I'll give you like an extra couple bucks if you go in there and buy me a six-pack of something, man.
Exactly. Around that time. You know what my favorite other quote about beer is? And I know, like, I'm going to be super beer snob right here. Any free beer is a good beer. No. No, it's fucking not. Sometimes I'd rather just have water than drink a Bud Light or something. I just won't drink tonight. I'll just be a DD if that's the only choice.
Yeah, you know, like, I'll go places, you know, like a pool party or a barbecue or whatever, and they're like, hey, we got beer, extra beer, you want one? And I go, and I'm like, yeah, where is it? And they're like, it's in the ice chest. We got both kinds of beer, Bud Light and Miller Light. And I'm like, what kind of sodas you guys got? You know, because I'm driving, man. I don't want to have too much beer today.
Exactly. I think every time I go to a house and I say, I'll just have a soda, people are going to be like, oh, so my beer's not fucking good enough, huh?
I mean, that should be known. If you're going to buy shitty beer, you should at least have good soda to cover for it.
No, I mean, you make a very fair point there.
No shitty store brands. I don't want no Sergeant Pepper or whatever the Walmart knockoff of Dr. Pepper is.
Exactly. Nobody wants that shit. Keep it to yourself. It's not your kid's lunch.
Exactly. We're not your kid's friends that you don't want to like shell out good money for. We're your friends. At least was your friends. If you're going to start trying to shill a shitty beer and soda, maybe we should find new friends.
True. I mean, at least Gecko has Mexican Coke, man. I mean, that stuff is pretty good.
It is. And see, he's shelling up. Yeah. Shelling up for some good soda.
Have they switched to the corn syrup yet? I heard they were going to corn syrup. They're not going to do the real sugar.
I don't know. I hadn't heard. And that would suck, because then there's no reason to buy it.
I know. There'd be no reason to drink a Coke.
Exactly. I mean, but it's funny because Pepsi has some that they switch over. They still sell the corn syrup stuff, but then they also sell some made with real sugar. So maybe the Mexican Coke, was it selling as good as the American Pepsi with real sugar? Or the latest trade agreement that we passed or whatever the government passed has allowed Mexico to encourage Mexico to make it legal to use non-natural sugars in their beverages.
Maybe.
Or maybe Mexico realized it's just cheaper to bottle their sodas in America because then they can actually use corn syrup as opposed to real sugar.
Wow, isn't that fucking full circle?
Circle of life.
See, we're not only about nerdy shit, we're about the important stuff in life, like corn syrup in our Mexican coats.
Exactly. We're hammering out the controversy here. We're settling world problems here.
Exactly. Bring them all on, we'll get them fixed. So speaking of world problems, I heard you finally decided to finish Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, I did. And for a game that at one point, shortly before it came out, I had zero interest in buying. I'm both happy and really kind of sad that I played this game because, you know, playing it through, the story just got better. I mean, it got to a point where, like, I didn't really want to stop playing because just so many, like, revelations were coming through with the story and different, plot twists. And it just got really good, especially the last, like, third of the game. And you know, I mean, there's no real complaints about the game. I know they've released a couple patches in the last, like, month to fix some bugs that people encountered, but I didn't encounter any of the bugs that they were talking about. And, you know, really the only, like, frustrating thing that I found from the game was the kind of the lack of control over the camera. Like, you couldn't zoom the camera in and out for some of the fights where you're fighting something that was, you know, ginormous and you're buried underneath it and you couldn't see yourself. So you'd have to run around until you could see. I could see the character and then go back to fight. But, you know, it was fun. But then when you got that that superpower armor, between that and being able to, like, commandeer the robots to fight for you, it almost got a little bit easy at some points.
Oh, but yeah. Still, the game was so super fucking easy to play when you got the power suit. It was just, it was stupid, man. It was stupid how easy it was. It was just
right.
Like, you could do, like, you could literally be a jackass and go after the strongest monster, and it would hit you like 5 times, and you would go, oh, maybe I should stop getting hit. Where it's like, without the suit, it's like one hit. All right, you're almost dead.
Right, and like the suit basically, it seemed to work like the armor for a Master Chief, where it had a shield that went down, but if you stopped getting hit for a minute, it would regenerate, and it would let it off like an alarm, like there was a sound, an audible sound that would be made from the game when the shield was down to zero, to let you know that once you started taking hits from now, it's going to affect your health. So they definitely didn't want to surprise you when you actually got hurt wearing that armor.
No, that story is amazing. Like, I really hope that we hear about some kind of expansion pack or something about it on E3. I think those developers have really designed a great game and a great story. Like, I am literally excited to see what they come up with next.
Right, and I guess as of now, there's nothing been announced as far as a sequel, but they have announced that they're going to make more additional content for the game, whether it's more story or more like hunts or stuff like that. But you know, any excuse to go back and play the game would be welcome. But you know, playing the game, it definitely left itself open to there being a sequel, or at least more content for the story. So there's that hope for that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some more mystery, and there's definitely, it's definitely been cliffhanged. Now, it'll be interesting to see how the second story, depending if they just do expansion packs and they end the series, or if they do a full-blown new game. I think it'd be interesting to see how they go about it, because they could either make one more game and make it good with a good story and probably end it, or, I mean, we could see if they're just going to make this a dragging series and maybe not cut it now, but it's like the same repetitive ending.
You mean like every other series that made money initially and then the game system or the manufacturer didn't want to run out of making cash on it, like Halo and Uncharted and Assassin's Creed and Modern Warfare, and I'm sure, you know, I'm forgetting all the rest of them, every other game that's been ever made that has multiple sequels that's just the same game over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I see between Halo and, well, let's just go with Dragon Age, all right? For lack of a better term. So Dragon Age, you're a different character in every game. It has the same general lore of there's these monsters, these things happen, there's these species in the game and stuff like that. So where you can go to different parts of the world and have different heroes and whatnot. Now versus Halo, where you had the ring, it gets destroyed, and then the next game there's the flood again, and there's a whole nother ring, and it's just like, what are you talking about? How is there another ring? Like, it's almost like starts to get close to being very similar.
Right, especially I think they announced at least once, if not twice, after making a game that there would be no more Halos, and then they make another one, and then they make another one. And I think they did the, same thing with Gears of War. That was the other game I was thinking of where, you know, I'm pretty sure I thought the game ended, and then, oh, the Xbox One is coming out, and you have no exclusives for the Xbox One, so you need to make another Halo and another Gears of War, even though you told us you were done making those games forever. I guess you had your fingers crossed, or in the fine print, you meant only on the 360. We are never going to make another Halo again for the 360. This is going to be the last Halo game ever made for the 360. Which sucks, because it's like, you know, you look at, you know, with Horizon Zero Dawn, and there's a bunch of other games that are coming out for the PlayStation 4 as exclusives. They're, you know, exciting, they're kind of newish, and sadly, as much as, you know, I'm not going to say I'm an Xbox fanboy, but I've done a majority of my gaming on the Xbox. I turn it on lately to watch Netflix, and I've been kind of playing through one game on it, but everything else I play is on the PlayStation, like, and it used to kind of be the opposite. Mm-hmm. And by kind of, I mean definitely it used to be the opposite. I would play everything on the Xbox to get because my achievement score was life, and the trophies don't matter. Nobody, who cares about trophies? Nobody. That's who.
Your participation trophy?
Exactly. That's all they give out on the PlayStation, was just participation trophies. They have no point value. If they meant something, they would have a number value assigned to them.
Fair enough. No, I think you make a great point. I think PlayStation is really dominated the exclusives lately. The PlayStation exclusives are just a lot better than the Xbox. I mean, you could, a lot of these other games are coming out for both systems, so I mean, when you really look at it, I think PlayStation is really the place to be for so far this year.
Yeah, so far, and I mean, and we'll have to see, you know, at E3 if anything changes as far as the status of Xbox exclusives. You know, I mean, and it's one thing for Xbox to come out and say, hey, we're making these exclusives at some point in the future. And then, you know, two or three E3s down the road, those games haven't come out yet, and they're getting ready to announce the, you know, the next system, whatever that may be.
Yeah, I mean, I think Xbox, Microsoft, I should say, is just focused more on building the new game console and stuff, and I think they've slipped on as far as what new games they're going to have. I mean, what we're at Dead Rising 3, X amount of Halos, X amount of Gears of War. I mean, there's just a lot of repetitiveness that seems to be coming out, and I just don't think Xbox is unique anymore.
No, and you know, like, look at Titanfall. Like, the first one was exclusive to the Xbox, and then the second one wasn't. You know, like, that hurt them, because that was definitely a game that, you know, at least the second one came out, it was better than the first one, but that wasn't something that they could, you know, have the fanboys come out and scream at the PS fanboys, oh yeah, well, we have Titanfall, what do you have? Because now they can come back and say, oh yeah, we have Titanfall 2 as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's terrible to see, but I mean, like, I was like you, dude. I was playing Xbox, and then I've kind of really been playing on the PS4 side. Now, I've gone back into Overwatch, and so I'm not going to rebuy the game, but at this point, I've just kind of been sitting around. I finished Persona 5, and just kind of been working on the beer stuff. There's just nothing to get me back over to Xbox as far as, like, that I really want to play.
Right. There's nothing, like, exciting right now, but I guess, you know, it's the beginning of summer. It's kind of the slow season for games, so we'll have to see. You know, usually they kind of, things dry out this time of year because everybody's getting psyched up for E3, and they don't want to release anything now when they can announce it at E3 and put the game on pre-order and have it come out, like, you know, in September, October.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But one of the PlayStation exclusives I've been playing is Nier Automata.
Yes, and for those that don't remember, it's the fancy girl with the black dress.
And the very short black dress and the very high heels. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can definitely do a little bit of awesome camera work and do some up dress views if you so choose. And, you know, because of her sensible uniform, there's been a lot of fan art popping up all around the interwebs.
Yeah, no, right? There's been a lot of weird stuff going on there.
And, you know, probably rightfully so, because, you know, as the creator of the game says, you know, he talked about how he made her the way he made her with the high heels and the outfit because, you know, he likes to look at women. And that doesn't make him a bad guy. But I don't know, man. Like, as much as I want to love this game, I don't know how I feel. I've got about 20, 25 hours in, and that was a struggle. Like, I couldn't figure out the map, and I don't know if I'm just slightly retarded. But, you know, at some point, you're playing the game, and you get a woman NPC who's, like, somebody you can go ask questions. She's, like, a tutorial NPC. And she's wearing the same helmet that the mask that the guy that created the game wears when he goes on his publicity tours when he's out in public so no one can see his face.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later, there's a dude that's wearing the same thing, and he's another tutorial NPC. And so when he popped up, one of the questions you can ask him is like, yeah, so what's up? I'm having difficulty with the map. And his reply is, yeah, you know, a lot of people have a hard time figuring out the map at first. Just if you're having a hard time figuring out the map, just walk around, you'll find stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I thought you were supposed to help me, Mr. NPC guy, and I guess he's just there to, you know, tell you to do better. Get good.
Get good, scrub.
Get good, scrub, is what he basically says to everything. It's pretty funny. So, you know, the story is pretty good. The world looks beautiful. Like, the demo that they put out is nothing like the rest of the game. Like, it's straightforward. You know, you have one mission, you can't, and the rest of the game is open world. You can explore. There's, you know, main quests, side quests, different challenges in the game. But the one thing that's awesome is, like, when you start playing the game, and this is, like, a very Japanese thing to do. I don't think an American game would dare do this. The whole thing that was the demo in the game has no save points. So it's about 30 to 40 minutes long, and if you die at any point, let's say you die on the last boss like I did, it pops up game over and you have to restart.
Jeez.
So, like, when I didn't realize that was going to happen, and I was just trying out different things and trying different techniques to beat the thing, and I ended up getting, you know, caught, and I died. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sure, you know, there's going to be a checkpoint. And then it popped up game over, and I'm like, wait, what? That's not fair. That's not fair.
No. It's like the old school Mario where you just can't die, man. You just got to finish it.
Right. It's definitely like bringing back, you know, the old school like platformers. Cause it was, you know, you could only follow a straight line. There was no saves. You got a couple health potions to start you with, but they didn't really give you anything else. It was very, like, the second time through, and I realized that it was, you know, for reals. It mm-hmm. definitely heightened the experience and made it a little more stressful and fun at the same time.
yeah, that's pretty funny to hear.
But the combat in the game is really awesome, and the story seems pretty good. It's a little convoluted, but hearing from people that, like, it's one of those games where you almost have to play through multiple times. Like if you beat the game once, you can kind of go back, and it'll start you not at the beginning, but at a certain point of the game, and you can play as the other android that's with you during the game, and so you can kind of do more flying stuff and different, get the game story from a different point of view and learn more about the story. So, you know, this game is kind of designed to be played through multiple times from multiple people's point of views mm-hmm. to get the whole story. So, I don't know, like, I kind of got, like I said, I got 20, 25 hours through and was getting a little, like, just a little frustrated. So I kind of went back and put Final Fantasy 15 back in just because I wanted to definitely beat that game before I forgot how to play that game as well.
You're going out there like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, that's pretty much it. Like, I'm going through and I'm on the headset with a couple people and I'm, like, getting ready to go through and do a fight. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't remember how the combat works in this game. I hope this fight is easy. And they're like, you'll get it. And sure enough, it's like, all right, I'll just start pushing buttons. Okay, so this one does this. Oh, yeah, I remember we can – there's the warp thing. There's that. There's this. So it took me a few battles, but I definitely remembered. And but, yeah, I mean, if you want to play, like, a game that's very Japanese and a little frustrating but fun at the same time, that's Nier Automata for you, like – it's not going to be easy. It's not going to hold your hand and show you where to go. But I guess the journey is more rewarding if you get lost and possibly die a few times from malnutrition and animal attacks.
I was just going to say, it was funny because the Overwatch was free this past weekend as well. And, of course, when you have people that haven't played before, like, people were just kind of running around doing whatever they want. So you were in attack mode, and you had, like, three snipers, like, back in the day. And people would be on defend, and they would be, like, literally away from the thing that you're supposed to be defending. So it's kind of funny to kind of go back and hear you trying to remember how to do that. And then with Overwatch, just all the new people just running around with their heads cut off, and it's just kind of funny to see.
Right, it's definitely like, you know, I could imagine it kind of being like kind of the beginning, but mixed with a few like ringers where there's people that definitely, you know what they're doing and want to be professional Overwatch players, mixed in with people that, you know, their friend told them it was fun, so then maybe they check it out and see if they decide to buy it or not.
Yeah, basically.
But I guess if you had knowledge of the game and knew what you're doing, I guess that would have been a good weekend to farm experience off the people that don't know what they're doing.
Or you were one of those guys that got stuck with being on their team.
True. But I guess don't they like partner you up with people that are supposed to be of equal skill level as you?
Are you trying to say I'm a scrub?
I'm just saying, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the game's saying that.
I did go like 7-10 on Monday night, so maybe.
Either the game's saying you're a scrub, or they're saying that you should be good enough to carry all the other scrubs.
I'll go with and the second one.
It sounds like from your win-loss kill-death ratio there, it sounds more like the first one.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun playing a little bit of Overwatch. Played the new tank, and she is pretty damn fun to play as.
She's pretty tanky?
Yeah, she is. She's got four legs. Boom.
Does she have a rotatable turret?
No, she does not. You can't just sit there and play like Bastion.
Well, he's a defense turret. She's a forward moving turret.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. That's fair.
Like a tank.
Exactly. All right, everybody. That is about it for today's show. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Please give us a like, share with your friends, listen to us on Podbean and on iTunes. We are almost everywhere. Everywhere. Danny, per usual, it was fun hanging out with you, man.
It was definitely a good time. And folks, you know, if you do, whether or not you listen to us, just go ahead and give us a 5-star review on every place that it is possible to give us a 5-star review. I am not above pandering or begging for awesome reviews.
You heard Danny. Get down there and fucking like us. We will catch you guys on the next episode of We Are a Dumb Show.
Next week, everybody.